All right, a lesson of catechism, so we'll start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Saint Isidore, Saint Joseph, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All right, as we speak, they're going to begin Way of the Cross upstairs. Anybody who wants to go to the Way of the Cross, think you know all your catechism, you can go to the Way of the Cross now. But if otherwise, stay here and listen to a lesson of catechism. One of the Holy Name Society members will be leading the Way of the Cross before Mass. Right. So we're on the chapter 91, page 184, chapter 91. And it's on the commandments. You know that the catechisms, the church makes her catechism out with usually three or four sections, right? They're usually broken down by the creed, the commandments, and prayer. Those are the three major divisions. So the one on commandments is the one where we're actually starting, the Ten Commandments, right? And it's one on the commandments in general, and then afterwards we go on through chapters on particular commandments one by one so that you get a good understanding of what they mean when they say, thou shalt not kill. You know, some people say, well, that means you stab a guy or shoot him or whatever. Well, that's true. If you do those things, that's killing him. But there are other ways to break the fifth commandment. So you should know the details so you don't break the commandments without realizing that you're doing it. But now we start with a general chapter on the commandments in general, right? The first picture shows some angels carrying the tablets with the Ten Commandments written down, giving them to Moses. He's on the mountain, right, in Arabia where he received the Ten Commandments from God. In fact, that actual mountain is the same place where the body of St. Catherine of Egypt was carried. She was a philosopher and a Catholic. And it was in the time of persecution against the Catholic Church. It was illegal to be Catholic. And the emperor heard that she was a very famous philosopher and very convincing about changing people to Catholic faith. And so the emperor sent other philosophers to convince her that Catholicism was not philosophically correct. Right? Well, on the contrary, she convinced them that it was philosophically correct. And then he got angry and he tortured her. But her body was carried by angels after her death to the mountain Sinai, where Moses received the Ten Commandments. So that's an interesting point. You know, this woman, philosopher, she's really good. It's very rare that a woman becomes a philosopher, but it happens, and she was one of them. Right? So that's very good. We're proud of St. Catherine of Egypt, Alexandria, Egypt, right? And the picture shows all the Jews camped down below. They had just been brought out of Egypt, where they were captive to the Pharaoh, and they're forbidden to make sacrifice to their God according to his rites. And so Moses was raised up to bring them out of this captivity, where they would be allowed to sacrifice to the true God, the rites that God prescribed, and also give them their commandments so that they would be trained up to be a race of people from which he would bring the Savior, that is the Jewish race or the Jews, which is indeed where the Blessed Virgin and Jesus were from. That's so our Savior is Jewish. Right? So therefore we respect the Jews because one day they will convert and they will no longer attack the Catholic religion. They'll acknowledge their Savior, Jesus Christ. Right? It will happen. And they, the theologians say that's going to be towards the end of the world. Oh, right. So when it starts happening, get yourself ready. You should be ready now, huh, always. But, you know, you'll know it. It's one of the signs of the end of the world. And the apostasy of the Gentiles and the conversion of the Jews. And I've seen some of them converting lately. It's not en masse, as they would say in French, you know. But it's a few here and there. Yes, indeed. Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai speaking with God. To him, God gave two stone tablets on which were engraved the Ten Commandments. Thus, we see why we must obey the commandments, for God himself gave them to us. They are God's laws requiring strict obedience. So the Ten Commandments are not optional, right? There was somebody said, do you know what are the Ten Suggestions? No? No, they're not just suggestions, my friends. They are commandments. God recommends that we keep them, and when he recommends something, that's an order, right? We should say to God, your wish is my command. And his commands are even more important than his wishes, right? Okay. So the first, which are the Ten Commandments? If anyone does not know the Ten Commandments by heart, you're ignorant, right? Catholics should know them by heart. And that's why we're here in catechism, because we may know them by heart at times and then forget some of them, you know. Right after confirmation when you pass the test, you know, and then never look at them again. Okay, so... So that's why we review them in our catechism. We don't want to... St. Paul would say often to those he wrote to, I would not have you ignorant. And then he would teach them something, right? So we should do that with ourselves, teach ourselves what are the Ten Commandments, right? So they list them here, the Ten Commandments. And the Lord thy God, thou shalt have not false gods or strange gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And remember, thou keep holy the Lord's day. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. 9, thou shalt not covet the neighbor's wife. And 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. Those are the Ten Commandments. You should know them by heart. If you didn't know them, when it, you know, just this morning, you say, well, I could have got some of them pottery, but, you know. All right, then you need to study them and memorize them. That's your homework assignment, right? Second question, by whom were the Ten Commandments given? Answer, the Ten Commandments were given by Almighty God, who first gave them to Moses on Mount Sinai. And then they give 2 points under the first point, under this question, they were given by God at Mount Sinai to Moses. In the third month after the Israelites had left Egypt, they arrived near Mount Sinai. God called Moses and told him he would appear to the people. On the third day, there was thunder and lightning and a trumpet sounded. So it's 3 months and 3 days after the exit from Egypt. Moses took the Israelites to the foot of the mountain, which shook violently and smoked like a furnace. The trumpet blew louder, and God spoke from the clouds. But the Israelites were afraid and begged Moses to pray God not to speak to them. Basically, Moses was the only one who was bold enough to go face God, and the rest of them were violently afraid of his terror. And that's a good idea, you know. We should be terrified of God in such a way that we're terrified that if we don't do what we ought to do, or if we do what we ought not to do, he will be terrible to us. And that's what that's called, the fear of the Lord, right? Timor Domini, fear of the Lord. What's the fear? Well, we fear to offend him because we love him. And also we fear his punishments if we do not obey him. Right? That's fear of the Lord. That brings down on us mercy. Remember the words of the Magnificat, Mary's Canticle. His mercy is from generation to generation to those that fear him. If we do not fear the Lord, we're not going to be recipients of his mercy. So the fear of the Lord is also one of the 7 gifts of the Holy Ghost. Right? And we ask for it every time we pray. It's a good idea to ask the Holy Ghost, give me the holy fear of God, so that I'll fear to offend him because of love, and I'll fear to be punished, and so I'll behave myself too. Right. And the second point under this, by whom were they given? Moses went up to Mount Sinai to talk with God. God gave him 2 tablets of stone on which he carved the 10 commandments. Now God is the one who carved them, not Moses. Right? God carved those commandments in stone. On coming down from the mountain, Moses found the Israelites adoring a golden calf, which is one against the first commandment, right? When he came back with the commandments, they were breaking one of them, right? The first one, the most important one, right? In his anger, Moses threw down the tablets of stone and broke them. You might say Moses broke the commandments too, right? But it wasn't the same thing, right? It wasn't the same as what they were doing. Right? He broke what they were written on. Right? But they were breaking them by disobeying them. Moses again went up to Mount Sinai. God told him to make two new tablets. So now Moses made two new tablets. On these, Moses wrote the commandments. You broke them, you write. So now God wasn't going to do that part again. Right? So he got angry, and he should have controlled himself. Right? So Moses wrote them on the second set. You can imagine what it would be like to see those stones, or to see the stones on which God wrote the commandments. Right? Two tablets, which are called the tables of the law. That's another way of speaking of the two stone tablets, the tables of the law. Right? Were later placed in the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark was kept in the tabernacle, which is where the worship was given to God. When Solomon built the temple, the Ark was placed in the innermost part, called the Holy of Holies. So the Ark of the Covenant, with these two stone tablets that Moses made and wrote these commandments on them, God dictated them. Get it right now, Moses. This is the word. Don't spell it wrong. So he got it right, just what God wanted. He wrote them, and then they were put in this Ark of the Covenant and put inside of the tabernacle, which in the desert was a tent. That's why they call it a tabernacle. Right, because a tabernacle means a tent. And now we call it a tent even though it's more than a tent. Right? Because it's inside of a building and it's made of some kind of metal or wood to close it in a hard shell. Right? So there they were in the Holy of Holies. Both the Ark and the tables disappeared with the destruction of the temple and the fall of Jerusalem in 587 B.C. Now, so 587 B.C., this before Christ, right? Those tables and everything disappeared. That's why you have now movies about, In Search of the, Raiders of the Lost Ark and things like that. It's all supposed to be based on the Ark of the Covenant, which Moses had made, and the Tables of the Law in it, and so on. Especially fiction movies, but based on some historical fact about the Ark of the Covenant. Right? So, don't say that Father Leith suggested that we go see, what's his name, Jones, Indiana Jones, right? I didn't recommend that. But point is, that's where they get their takeoff from. They take it off from a real fact, and then they go on with a fictitious story. In the enumeration of the commandments of God to be found in the books of Moses, are the commandments definitely divided into 10? Technical point. Doesn't make a whole lot of difference whether it could be divided into, but we're going to answer it. Right? In the enumeration of the commandments of God to be found in the books of Moses, although the injunctions are distinctly tenfold, there is no definite numerical division. Okay, so there are 10 distinct injunctions, but they don't have to be necessarily divided definitely by 10. Right? You can some of them put together, break one apart into two, and then join two of them together. Thou shalt not covet, and they just put both of them under one commandment, right? The last two. The Catholic enumeration of the Ten Commandments differs from the English and Calvinist Protestant enumeration. So it's non-Catholic. But the non-Catholics, although they have the commandments, they don't keep them. Right? It's, for example, the many of them allow divorce and remarriage. Right? What does that mean? Thou shalt not commit adultery? Well, they do it. It's institutionalized. So they don't keep the commandments. That's the. I think it's the low church. Church of England, the low church allows divorce, high church does not. So Henry VIII belonged to the low church. Right? Why do they have high church and low church? Well, because there was a little difficulty with matrimony. And the king, the head of the religion. Right? So the Protestant enumeration is different. Right? The Catholic division was used in England until the Protestant Revolt. So England had the 10 that just as we divide them. And when the Protestant Revolt came, they said, oh, no, can't be that way. That's the Catholic way, right? So they revolted against the enumeration of 10, right? And they still had 10, but they divided the first one into two, and they put the last two together. The Catholic system is based on the Hebrew text and principally on the enumeration made by St. Augustine. It was adopted by the Council of Trent. By it, the first commandment contains everything relating to the false worship and false gods. The tenfold division is safeguarded by dividing the last precept regarding desire into one relating to the sins of the flesh, other referring to the sins against property. Just as acts against purity are forbidden separately from acts against property. Right? So The English Protestant enumeration is based on Origen and others. By it, the worship of graven images is numbered as the second commandment. And all the succeeding commandments thereby are advanced one over the Catholic enumeration. To safeguard the tenfold division, the last two commandments were grouped together as the tenth. They knew it had to be ten still, so they said, well, we've got to do something about that. So we'll join 9 and 10 together. The Ten Commandments are arranged in logical order to embrace all laws necessary for the enforcement of the two precepts of charity, the two great commandments of the love of God and the love of neighbor. The first three commandments comprise our duty towards God. The first commandment requires adoration and loyalty to God. The second requires reverence to God. That's about the name of the holy name of God. And the third requires formal service to God, which is our Sunday worship especially, plus our whatever else is necessary for formal worship to God. The sanctification of a day for the exclusive honor of God. And the last seven commandments comprise our duty to ourselves and our fellow men. The fourth commandment contains our duty towards our parents and superiors as representatives of God. Conversely, the commandment also contains the duties of superiors to their subordinates. So, you know, if they say, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother, well, then that means it's the duty of parents to be honorable. Right? So, otherwise it's difficult for anyone to keep the fourth commandment with them. Right? Fifth commandment assures the protection of life. Sixth, purity. The seventh, property. The eighth, of reputation and honor. The ninth, the tenth, of domestic life. Okay, so those assure goodness in all aspects of human life. Next question. Are we obliged to obey the commandments of God? Hopefully you don't need to be told. We are strictly obliged to obey the commandments of God. God has imprinted the substance of the Ten Commandments in the human heart and mind, and they have therefore binding force. Even if they had never been revealed, we should still be obliged to keep them, for they are dictated by reason and taught by the natural law. The revealed law merely repeats and amplifies the natural law. While it is true that reason does not tell us to sanctify Saturday or Sunday, it certainly requires us to keep some day or days holy to give exclusive honor to our Creator. So it's not as explicit, but it's still there. Two. Under this, are we obliged to obey the commandments? And there's a third one besides. So the second one. Our Lord Jesus Christ confirmed the Ten Commandments and laid them upon us in a more complete form. Sermon on the Mount, you know, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Get that? Christ reiterated the Ten Commandments when speaking to the rich young man, Matthew 19, 18. And in the Sermon on the Mount, on various occasions, he explained several of them separately. I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot nor tittle of the law shall be lost, until all things have been accomplished. In other words, the law stays. He reiterated it, reinforced it, and made it even more understandable, and made us understand it according to the law of charity for God and neighbor. We should gladly keep the commandments because God wishes and orders us to do so. It is the way we serve Him. If we keep the commandments, we show by our acts that we love God and so serve Him. So if we wonder if we're loving God, we say, well, am I keeping His commandments? If you're not sure, well, you better study Him and figure it out if you're breaking somehow one of them or the other or more. Violation of the commandments results in temporal punishments like discontent, dishonor, bad health, and other miseries. Those obedient to God's commandments always enjoy peace of conscience in this life, and the next, their heavenly reward will be great, without limit, and without end. Okay, so obviously, God wants it to be that way. He wants us to be obedient to His commandments. We have a free will, the power of choosing to either obey or disobey. Right? We don't have the right to disobey, so our choice is given to us in order that we may freely choose to serve God, so that we actually may be rewarded for it. Because if it was robotic, and we were just designed, well, I must obey, we have no choice, then we can't be rewarded for it either. We didn't merit anything. We don't deserve any prize, because we absolutely just did what was necessary by our very nature. But God gave us a free will so that we could choose to be good, and therefore be rewarded for being good. Because without choosing it, we can't be rewarded. So the free will is not free in every way. It's free in its powers, but not free morally. And we don't have the right to do what is wrong or to admit what we should be doing is good. Right? Last question. Should we be satisfied with merely keeping the commandments of God? Answer, no. We have to keep them, but that's not all, right? We should not be satisfied merely to keep the commandments of God, but should always be ready to do good deeds, even when they are not commanded. If we truly love our parents and friends, we do not wait to be commanded to do what will please them. God is our best friend. If we really love Him, we would do what we know He likes, without being ordered to do so by His commandments. We would do little extra things, good works, sacrifices, all as an offering of love for Him. Okay. Any questions on the commandments in general?
Is the rumor true that in the Novus Ordo Seminary they're teaching there was actually 15 commandments, but Moses dropped the third tablet? We just decided to go with 10.
That's an interesting thing. For those who didn't hear it, he said, is it true, the rumor, that in the Novus Ordo seminaries, they're teaching that there were actually 15 commandments instead of 10, and that Moses dropped one tablet and broke it, and he said, oh, well, that's enough, 10. Is this a joke? Oh, it's a joke. I'm sorry. And my answer to that, if it was serious, would be, do they really think we ought to have 5 more? I thought they were going to kind of cut it back down from 10 to something less, so it's life is easier, you know. But we would have a harder way to begin. Okay, any other questions? Yes? No? Okay, we'll say our prayers. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Holy Moses, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, a blessing. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos, et manet semper.